Alright, so we're on Yud Aleph and Aleph. We'll just touch upon the mission of the Gemara, and that's kind of going to be the springboard to get into the Sugya as a whole. So the Mishnah says, Besham Yomim, Ein Nodlin, it's Eli Lekatzev Lav Basar. You can take a pestle to pound meat. And Rashi says, Melato Le'isur. This is a Muksa problem. This is a Kli that's main purpose is for an Isur. So therefore we can't use the Anyata for things that are mutter. And that's a machogis between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, whether Simchas Yontif can override that type of muksa. Okay, we're not going to focus on that. Beis Shammai, Ein Odlin Et Or Lefnei Ador Son. You're not allowed to put hide like on the floor for people to walk on, because it's going to assist in the tanning process. I mean, if you kill an animal and you have a hide, so if you want to like help, I don't know, flatten it and smooth it, so putting it where people will walk helps. So now tanning is a malacha. It's a malacha that has no purpose for yontif, so it's a problem. So b'shamerim ain't not the or lefnei ador son v'lo yibiehu. You can't lift it up. You can't like hang it. Elam ken yesh imo kizayis basar v'basil matirin. Unless you have a kizayis basar on it, then it becomes. The purpose of it is not now just to carry the meat, so therefore it's mutter. And Beis Hillel says this is all mutter. Okay, let's get to the Gemara. So the Gemara is two dots about 9 lines from, let's say 8 lines from the bottom of the page. First word is Tana. So the Gemara says Tana, v'shevin shemochen lav basar tzli. But they both agree that you can salt. Roasted meat. Now, I think it's Rashi would say.
What's the kiddush there? I mean, how's that?
What?
What's the kiddush there? How's
right,
that?
So why would that matter?
I mean, why would I think?
So the pshat is that there's a hide underneath it. That by salting meat, excess right, excess salt will get on the hide. However, they wouldn't use that much salt before roasting because roasting gets out all the blood. And you know you would salt a lot more before cooking than for salting, than roasting. So the idea was that you'd have maybe a little excess salt, but not enough to make that much of a difference to the hide. So they both agree that you're allowed to do. Rabbi makes clear though, but not for kadeira, that if you're salting meat that you're going to cook, that you can't salt and have the hide underneath it because then. Used a lot of salt, and that would already impact the hide in a more substantial way, and therefore that would be usr. Lo pshita letzni tanan hakamash malam. Dafi letzli ke'en kedera usr. And also on top of that, if you happen to use a lot of salt for roasting, that's also usr. Tanan baran, em olichen et chalevim, ve'em mitabchim behen, mishur Rabbi Yehoshua. That you can't... Yeah, we're in here. You're not allowed to salt a chaylev on yontif either. Now, chaylev, while it's asr to eat, is not asr behana. So you can still use it for other things. You can feed your animals with it. You can sell it. It's not asr behana. But you can't salt it, because there's no ochon nefesh for it. You can't, like, lift it up or move it in a way to maybe dry it out. Mishir Rabbi Yeshua. I'm Rishotchem Beruach Agave Sedos. Rabbi Yeshua says that, no, you are allowed to kind of hang it on poles, and let it just dry by itself. Number of Masna, halachic Rabbi Yeshua. Rav Masna says the halach is like Rabbi Yeshua. Igadamri, Amar Rav Masna, ain't halachic Rabbi Yeshua. So two different opinions here. One is that we hold like Rabbi Yeshua, and the other is that we don't hold like Rabbi Yeshua. Shabish, lam lam adam halachic Rabbi Yeshua. It's tzrich. So we understand the opinion that it says that halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua. Why? Because that it would need to say that. And the assumption would be the halacha is like the first opinion, which is the Tanakama, which is the Chachamim. Right? You wouldn't have to say the halacha is not like Rabbi Yeshua. The assumption is not like him, because he's a Das Yachid, right? And Yachid and Rabbim, we always paskin like the Rabbim. Sagadah dechamina, Yachid Rabbim, halacha ki Rabbim. Kamash Malan, halacha ki Yachid. Elamad Amar Ein Alacha Pshita Yachiv Rav Malacha Krab Matema Mistaber Time of Rabbi Yeshua. So according to the opinion that we hold like the Chachamim, why would we need Rav Masa to come in and say Ein Alacha Rabbi Yeshua? Because Rabbi Yeshua's opinion makes more sense, right? Mm-hmm. And even so, we paskin like the Chachamim. So there's a lot here. We'll have to understand a little bit this idea of halacha of rabbim versus yachid. Is that always the case, or are there exceptions? And when do we apply the exceptions? And then we'll get into a little bit of this question. Well, what if the das yachid makes more sense? And let's say, can the Rishonim decide that they want a paskin like a das yachid if it makes more sense than the rabbim? Okay? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where we're going to go here. But first, a few other cases in Shas dealing with this question of Yachid versus Rabbim. Now, first we see that this applies. No, 2 points. Number one, how far do we go with this Rabbim versus Yachid? Right? What if you are a Talmud of the Yachid? Right? What if you were. Right, you know, classic.
If you're talking about the Yachid, then you would expect to follow your Rav.
Right. So is that can you follow your Rav if it's clearly the Yachid or not? So we'll see kind of two sides to it, but there's two very interesting Gemaras which seem to imply that even those who would consider someone their Rebbe, if they were the Yachid, they didn't hold like him. So case number one is in Brachos Daf Testament Aleph. So this is back, you know, the first mission in Brachos, that the Chachamim say you can say Shema until Chatzos. Rav Gamliel says you can say it until the next morning, till Nates. So Ma'aseh Shabbat Banim. So the case where his sons came back from a wedding, they came back late, and he told the sons you can still daven, you still say Shema. So Gemara says V'hash lo shmielu ha de Rav Gamliel. How can Gamliel? This is the conversation. Rabbanan Paligalayach. V'yachid v'rabim halachik harabim. So his own son say to Rabban Gamliel, they say, well, we don't know if we can paskin like you, Dad, because the rabbim are not like you, right? Odil, so, and if the rabbim's not like you, then the halacha is you can only say Shema to Chatzos, so it's too late for us to say Shema. Odil, or maybe, Rabbanan Kavasech Sverle, maybe the rabbanan really do hold like you. And why did the Rabbanan say you can only say Shema to Chatzos? If you allow people to say Shema all night, they'll wait too long, they'll fall asleep, and that's not going to happen. So they said, you know, either Gzera, Eitz Tova, whatever it is, you should say Shema by Chatzos. Amar Lehu, Rabbanan Kavah says, Sveri Lehu, V'chaya V'natem. And Rabbi Gamliel said, no, everyone agrees on this basic principle that you can be the Eved, say Shema up until Nates. And they said this. So the only reason they said this is because to separate from Avera. So what do we see from here? It's fascinating. So we see that even Rav Gamliel's own children, right, when it came to their father's psak, they said, we're not sure we can paskin like you because the rabbim are a lot like you, right? Maybe that's something between fathers and sons. I don't know. That's,
yeah, I was
going to
say.
Dafka, they would hold like their father, right? But you would think Rav Gamliel can say back to him, hey, look, who cares what the rabbim hold? Like, this is what I hold. You're my kids. You have a right to paskin like me. They don't assume they're going to paskin like him. And Rav Gamliel himself doesn't respond in that way. He doesn't say you have to.
He says you're right,
but just know that the Chachamim are talking about lechalchila, but yeah, you can still say Shema till Nate. So even his answer is respectful of the concept of we pass on the Rabbim over the Yachid, even if he's the Yachid, right?
Well, it's like what Rabbi Simon did about Anivos, you know, about modesty.
Right. Rabbi Gamliel is not known to be a modest guy. The portrayal of him off in the Gemara is a gruff and aggressive guy. So here we see, you know what? He wasn't so bad. Right? He wasn't so bad. Case number two, fascinating, also deals with Rabbi Gamliel.
Stands by. So, if I remember correctly, he's with the whole thing with the...
Rabbi Yeshua
with Yom Kippur, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So he stands by his opinion.
He stands by his opinions, and he's not afraid to be a Das Yachid. Right. 100%. They Rabbi Shua also surveys him, but that was 1 versus 1. So that's a different story, because then it wasn't Chacham. It was,
yeah,
1 versus 1. Rabbi Gamliel is the Nasi. He's going to win out. Same case also deals with Rabbi Gamliel. Amar Mar. This is now the Perek of Brachos dealing with Brachos. Hakos is the Oreis Mevarach Lebri Priya Adama. That if you just chew on rice, you would make a Priya Adama. Tachin of Afa Bishlo, but if you grind it and bake it or cook it, Afa Pisha Prusas Kayamos, even if you can still see the rice, but Tchila Mevarach Lebri Priya Berminim Zenos Lebri Bracha Achas Vein Shalosh. First opinion is that you would, even for rice, for rice that's cooked into something, you would make a mezonos, and then you'd make an alamichia. Ve'atanya, lebesof lo klum. But the verse says no, you shouldn't make any bracha charuna. Amar sheshes lo kasha, harangamil harabana. No, this is really a machlogos tir magamil and the rabbana. D'atanya, because we have a brayse zeaklal. Kol shu meshiva saminim, any of the shivas minim. Rabbi Gamliel lomer shalosh brachos. So Rabbi Gamliel had the shita. You should bench even if you eat any 7 grains. You eat a grape, you bench. You eat a date, you bench. You don't make an ala michia. You make you should bench for even the seven species.
So that's what shalosh brachos is, benching.
Yeah, shalosh brachos means benching.
But it's arba bracha.
The last bracha is the Rabbanan, so they refer to a shalosh brachos, yeah. Mechal Merim brachos achem en shalosh, but the Chamim said, no, you make an al michya. So that's the machlokes. Okay. And now the story. Maaser Rabbi Gamliel ve'zakenim, shayim esumim ba'yal b'yericho. So Rabbi Gamliel and the zakenim, they're all eating together nicely in Yericho. Ve'avil lefneim kol devos ve'achlos. They ate dates, and they ate them. Right? They and so this is one of the 7 species. And he goes to Rabbi Kiva and says, "No, why don't you bench for us?" And Rabbi Kiva knows he's in the middle of this is a trap, right? It's like, wait a second. I know Rabbi Gamliel holds I have to bench. I know the Chachamim hold I say an alamichia. He's asking me to bench. What do I do? Right? It's disrespectful to not do. But if I don't, it looks, you know. If I do bench, then basically, yeah, I'm going against the Rabbim. And Rabbi Gamliel was considered his Rebbe. So Kafatz, Babarach Rabbi Kiva, Bracha, Achas Min Shalosh. So Rabbi Kiva says, okay, and he says Al Michia. He doesn't bench, says Al Michia. So Amalei Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel says to him, Akiva, Ad Matayata Machinis Roshcha, Ben Machlokes. What do you get involved in this Machlokes for? It's a bit unfair. The poor guy, like, you know, you're the one who asked him to bench, right? So he went against you, and now you represented him. So Amar Lo, so Rabbi Kiva says back to Rabbeinu, says, my Rebbe, Af Avishata Omer Kain, Bechavrecha Omer Kain, Lamtein Rabbeinu, Yachav Rabbe Halachli Karabu. What do you want me to do? I know the principle of Psak says, the Yachin Rabbi passing like the Rabbim, you're my Rebbe, but that's not the halacha. That's not what the majority holds. So I have no choice but to follow the rabbi.
So I have a question. Halacha and lemaisa. I think when my daughter was studying for the brachos B, I learned the acronym Amen Orez Mizonos Nefashos. That really is
yeah. Let's go. That's good. I never heard that one. That's good.
But
so that is how we paskin. Yes, right. That is how we paskin. But so this is fascinating. Again, Rabbi Gamliel is involved, but here Rabbi Gamliel is tougher. Yeah. His own sons, he's like, it's not that big a deal. But the Rabbi Akiva, he gets upset. What are you doing? You're making, you know, like, why are you getting involved here? Why are you getting me involved? But again, we see that 2 cases here, one his sons and one his Talmud, they both felt that halacha, Rabbin versus Yachid, applies even for your own Rebbe, even for your father. So that's how seriously the Tanaim Namorim took this concept of Yachal Kerabim Halachal Kerabim. Now, as far as the source for this, is an interesting little discussion here. So the Tosefta, when it tells the same story as a piece that the Gemara doesn't have. So look at the next source, Tosefta and Brachos. So this follows. Kamas Rebbe Kiva, Baruch HaChorein Achas, Amrina Lord Mgumil, Akiva Lama Tamachnes Roshchal Lebein Amachlokes, Amrina Lamadatenu, Achre Rabim Lahatos. So instead of, so the Gemara says, he says to his Rebbe Yachiv, Rabbim Halachi Kerabbim. He quotes like the Halachi principle.
Okay. He's saying, you told us. You taught us.
Acharam Lahatos.
No, but he's saying, no, he's saying different thing, but also he's saying, you told us. Right?
But that's true in both. Lematene Rabbeinu is true in both.
No, the second one says Lamtenu.
Lamtenu. Right, but who
taught us?
You taught us.
Yeah.
But Lamtenu Rabbeinu means like, Rebbe, you taught us this, no?
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's like, yeah. Well, you taught us that. So the difference here is he says, Acharam Lahatos. So he doesn't quote the halachic principle, he quotes the pasuk.
The pasuk, yeah.
Right? Implying that the source for Yachid Kerabim, halachic Kerabim, the source is Acharam Lahatos.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, let's think about this for a second. Does it make sense? Is this a logical application of Acharam Lahatos? Acharam Lahatos means, again, that the real source is for a Beis Din. Now, when it comes to a Beis Din, if it's 2 verses 1, if it's 7 verses 4, whatever it is, we paskin like the court case is won by the majority, even though there's a minority opinion. So do you think it makes sense to take that principle and apply it to Psak? That if you have 5 Tanayim holding one way and 1 Tana holds another way, we paskin like the 5 over the 1. Do you think that makes sense or not?
You can argue both ways.
What? So argue both ways. Let's hear it.
You can say, well, you know, essentially that's, you know, in effect a court case, and you can say they're paskining in a make believe court case, and therefore you follow the majority. Or you can say, no, actually this is a they're paskining not on a case with all its particulars that you have to consider, but rather on a concept. And on that, you know, you don't necessarily need that. The rule that applies for Beis Din is, okay, in a Beis Din, where you have all the particulars, in this specific one instance of the time, this particular case, the rule is you gotta follow the majority. But when you're talking about some more generic concept, maybe that doesn't apply.
Right, so the concept of Psak is much more, like you're saying, is much more nebulous than the court case. Court case...
Yeah, this is a situation.
Right, everyone's hearing the same arguments. Everyone's hearing the same points. And you have to come out with an answer. Psak is a funny thing because, well, we can learn sugyas differently. We can have different conclusions. We can analyze situations differently. Plus, a court case, there's a give and take between the dayanim. With Psak, that might not be the case.
Yeah.
And they might not...
Right.
So Psak, you don't have the same give and take, and they might not even live in the same period of time. Meaning, you can say, well, it's a machlokes between the Vilna Gaon,
right,
you know, and the Shach, right? The Vilna Gaon and the Shach never had a conversation, right? They didn't sit in a room and iron out the machlokes. So, you're almost poskening based on numbers, right? You're taking a straw poll and figuring out who comes out ahead. That's different than a Beis Din sitting together and ironing out the case and then coming out with a conclusion. So,
you know what was running through my mind when you said 5 verses 1? I just heard this on a TV quiz show yesterday. Do you know that 6 of the Supreme Court judges are Roman Catholic?
I did not know that.
And 3 are Jews.
I was shocked.
3 are Jews?
Uh-huh.
So it's all Jews and Roman Catholics?
Seems like it, right? Well, I know 3 are Jews.
Well,
sure.
Ginsburg is Jewish.
Ginsburg's Jewish.
What's her name? The new one is Jewish.
The new one,
new one, Kagan.
Kagan,
that's right.
And
who's the
other
one
is Jewish?
Wait. So only 2 are Jewish.
Right. Sandra Day O'Connor's still there, right?
No.
She retired.
There's Roberts, there's Thomas, there's Scalia, there's...
You know, like, they had a 6 of them, all that, childless, divorce, whatever. I would have guessed Charlotte. Roman Catholic.
It's a firm bunch. So the Tosefta is saying that Zacharam Lahatos, that's the source for this concept. But we'll say it's not so pasha. Okay. So, the Yerushalmi and Sanhedrin has a fascinating little story as well. It goes like this. Amar Rabbi Yonai. Ilu nitna Torah chatucha lo'ayta l'ragel amida. So basically, it's a very interesting question. You know, the Sham is asking, why didn't the Torah just give us Psak, right? Just produce a law book, right? Just give us a Shulchan Aruch, right? Why do we have to get to a Shulchan Aruch? Just give us a Shulchan Aruch. And, you know, so much easier, so much more simple. So, because if the Torah was complete when it was given, it would not be adjustable to situations.
That's what le regel amida means?
Yeah, like that you wouldn't be able to you know, figure out how to apply it to situations and to different eras.
That's very interesting because I did research on the history of Nekudot, and that's also one of the reasons that the Torah doesn't have Nekudot. So you could have different interpretations.
Oh, there you go. And different, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So, Matam, Vaydeber Hashem and Moshe. So, why is it Hashem said to Moshe? Amr al-Fan of Moshe Olam. So, Hashem said to Moshe, Hodiani Hayechi Alacha. Amr lo acharem lahatos. So if Moshe would ask, what's the halacha? He'd say, acharem lahatos. You guys figure it out. You guys figure out the halacha. Rabbi mamazakin zachu. If more say it's mutter, then it's mutter. Rabbi machayev and chayev. And if more say it's chayev, then you're chayev. Kadesh ha-tor ni dreshes memtes panim tame, or memtes pani tor, minay v'dalag. Eventually,
what is the last abbreviation?
I don't know what that is. I looked it up. I couldn't figure it out. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. I struggled with it. But eventually you can get to a situation where you have, you know, 49 proofs that something is tame and 49 proofs that something is tahor. And then ultimately, Hashem intentionally created a halacha that had to be decided by us. Right? It left open to interpretation. But here again, when trying to describe the halachic process, it uses this pasuk, acharam latos. So again, the Yerushalmi uses the same sort of logic that acharam latos is the halachic process. Okay. Now the Sefer HaChinuch has what's seen as a different way of looking at it. It's you have to kind of clue into it a little bit, 100% befeirish, but you'll see that that's what his point is. So when he deals with this halacha of acharam latos, it's a Sefer HaChinuch Mitzvah Ayincha. It says as follows. Lintos acheram, v'ukesh yipo machlokis ben chachamim, bedin medina Torah kula. So when there's a machlokis amongst the chachamim, a kamoke medin prati, or a specific case, kalorim bedin sheven ruven l'shimon al-derech mashal. So there's a din between Reuven and Shimon. Kishem machlokis ben dayani iram, shekisasim danin l'chiyev, v'kisasim l'pturin in the Dayanim aren't unanimous on how to paskin. Lintos acharav liolam. We always follow the rov. Shneamar acharam lahatos. Okay. Next paragraph. Bechiras rov zeh lefi adome hu b'sheshnei kitos achokos yodos bechachmas haTorah b'shava. Now it has to be that both sides really know what they're talking about. It's only a machlokes if you've got two talmid chachamim on an equal level, right? You can't have a machlokes between Moshe Feinstein and the waiter, right? That's not a machlokes. And even if the waiter makes a good point, it doesn't make it a machlokes. So they have to be in the same level. She'en lomar she'kat hachamim mu'wates lo tachriya kas borim meruva. Meaning, you can get 5,000, you know, amaratim to say something and two, you know, gedolim. So you don't just go based on numbers of people. Right? It's not a voting system. It's based on the gedolim of the time.
You want to hear a joke about the
Lubavitcher? What's that? Let me finish the point. Aval b'shviat hachachma, or b'karv hodiyatenu haTorah shiribo hadeos yaskim liolam el haemes yoter min hamiyot. So, however, when the chachma is equal or close, the Torah is telling us shiribo hadeos yaskim liolam el haemes yoter min hamiyot. And this line I want to focus on. So, the language I think is very interesting. It's more likely that the majority of Gedolim will come to the truth than the minority. Meaning, he's saying that this isn't based on just like Xeris Akasav, it's some sort of, I don't know, sociological phenomenon. That if you have S amount of Gedolim, and the majority paskins one way or the other way, the assumption is that must be right.
That is more likely to be right.
It's more fun. It's more likely to be right. Right. Even if, for you, the individual, the minority opinion makes more sense. Still, the majority of posakes or whatever, or chachamim, they come to this conclusion. Then it's majority that's more likely to be right.
Like the English expression, "Great minds think alike."
Yeah, you can say that. So it's not so much. It's not just like zero, it's a custom. There's kind of a logic to it. So that's how the Sefer Chinuch kind of explains it. Okay.
Interesting. Ibsen disagrees. In one of his plays, it says the minority is always right.
The minority is always right? Why?
I don't know. It's in a very interesting play of his, and he says the majority is always wrong.
Well, there is, you know.
Yeah.
There was an idea of...
He was in the minority.
He was in the minority, right?
Exactly. Yeah, not in the Gemara, but it's an interesting opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, just because a lot of people think something doesn't make it right inherently,
yeah.
Right? You know, the world isn't flat, but...
Yeah.
okay. One last Gemara. Okay, Gemara Yevamos also very interesting. And we'll come back to this with Moshe's piece as well. I'm Rabbi. Kimi and Losis go to do. So when do we say Losis go to do, right? That you're rebelling. So when's it considered rebelling against the Chachamim? So what if you have...
That's interesting because I researched that term for Rabbi Mintz. It really means you shall not divide into camps.
Right, exactly, yeah. That you shouldn't go against the majority, right? You're creating a... an alternate community, an alternate psak. So this is, when do you say lotus go to? Go and stay about the din birachas halalu morum kedivri be shamai ve'halalu morum kedivri be hilal. Aval stay about tidim be shtei ayaros leis lenba. So if you have two bate din in one town, they have to agree on whose psakim to follow. You can't have one base holding like Beis Shammai and one posking like Beis Hillel, because then you're having two camps, right? Then you've got this conflict. So, however, if they're two separate cities, then each one can have their own sock. That's fine. Because within their own town, their own community, you can poskin however you want to poskin, as long as it's with one or the other.
I learned this in another Gemara recently. I think it's in the Sahad Sukkah.
Could be. I think what was the context?
Again, about dividing into camps and disagreeing on a psak. I'll see if
see if you can find
the
it.
Research report. Yeah.
I'm really Rava. Rava said, "V'habe shami beshilol kishte bate dinim beirachas tami." But is it really true that beshami is hilol two basins in one ear? Is that such a big deal? Elamar Rava can read it. Skaldu kugon basin beirachat. Polygmorian Kedivre Shami, Polygmorian Kedivre Beis Hillel. So that's one that's a problem when they each, when within the same city, there's two different basins who paskin differently. Avashte Batirim Birachas, Leislamba, Tashma. Bimakomash Rabbi Eliezer, Hayukortin Eitzin Lasas Pechamim, Beshabas Lasas Barzel. In the town of Rabbi Eliezer, so he was the posek for his town, and he held that when it comes to Shabbos, that not only can you violate Shabbos for Bris Milah, anything in preparation for Bris Milah can violate Shabbos too. And no one else holds like this, but Rabbi Eliezer. He held you could cut down the tree, which would then, and then use that to make a fire to then melt down metal to make a knife for the right. One of my rabbis told me a story that when he was a rabbi in the 50s. And he's being Rabbi Vishul, there's a Shabbos bris, and he sees the Moel drive into the parking lot, the car. He says, "What are you doing? Like, you know, we can't have a Moel driving here on Shabbos." He says, "It's okay, I hold like Rabbi Eliezer." He knows how to answer, right? He's got his shita, right? But you can't hold like Rabbi Eliezer, right? We've held like Rabbi, no one's held like Rabbi Eliezer in, you know, over 2,000 years, that you don't have that right anymore. So, Rabbi Eliezer, but that's somebody held. And that's what his town did, right? Same thing, B'komash Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Hay Ochlin Basar Of Bechalav. Rabbi Yossi Aglili was a very popular rabbi. Why? Because he held that you could eat Basar Of and Chalav. And he held of the Gzera. So they had a McDonald's there with chicken and cheese sandwiches, right? Rabbi Yossi Aglili was a very popular rabbi at his time, right? And that's what they did. His whole town, that's what they did. Everyone who held that there was his Rebbe, that's what he did. Right? Meaning, that's fine. Yes, they could do that. It wasn't considered low to go to do. But they couldn't do it in someone else's town. They couldn't go to Rebbe Akiva's turf and start posking like that. But within their town, they could do it. So you could have different towns with different poskim who did very different things. Even things that, you know, I hope what you're doing is violating Shabbos. I don't care what you have to say. This is what I hold. This is why I hold it.
Rabbi Mintz gave the example that in many cities outside New York, the rabbis say that a milchik restaurant that's open Shabbos can be kosher.
You know, it's funny that because I was just in a shir yesterday talking about a machine matzah.
Okay.
And we're going to the sources, and like, obviously it's a more recent, you know, we're talking about a sack of, you know, less than 200 years.
Right, right.
And the rabbeim in Poland, paskening against machine matzah, and even going and saying it's come, it's come, or and burning the machines because you're supposed to.
Right.
Whilst you know the responsible, you know, the chala gets that, and he basically is kind of like pointing. We're not, you know, not like the guys in what's it called well, they were in Galicia, so not like the guys in Poland, or in Germany, right? Like, you know, and he would say like, oh, Germany. You know. So, you know, it's obviously kind of not holding like that. Rather, right. they're not.
They're not respecting the other. The other psak, right? Right. So here, right, Rabbi Kiva was not burning down Rabbi Elazar's town, right? Yeah. So we see it wasn't los disco to do. It wasn't considered a problem. And to that extent, that they—that's how and mikil they were. Okay. Now we see interesting in Moed Katan. Let's look at this gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Shmua Krovin Oheges Shiva Shloshim. So you hear, you know, locally about someone passing away, then you have Shiva Shloshim. Shmua Choga and Oheges El Yom Echad. But if you hear that you had a relative pass away, you know, they passed away a month ago, you know. Back in the day, you might take that long to find out. Shiva's over, rings over. So you did one day of it wasn't Shiva, one day of mourning.
And sometimes on purpose they didn't tell you, so you wouldn't have a long Shiva.
I guess you could, yeah, they could do that, yeah.
Yeah, so that happened with my Israeli grandparents.
Oh, really? Even back then?
They didn't tell my mother or father.
Really?
My mother, yeah.
Wow. So is he Kruva? Is he Rechoga? What's considered Kruva? Rechoga, Kruva, Betoch Shloshim. If you find out within 30 days of the death, then you have to do 7 and 30. But after that, just one day. Rabbi Akiva, that's Rabbi Akiva's psak. Chaim omrim achas shmua krov achas shmua rechoka. Nemege shiva v'shloshim. But the Chaim say, the majority opinions say, even for rechoka, 7 and 30. So, Amar Rabbi Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol makam shatze motze yachid mekiel v'rabim machmirim, halachin karabim. So typically, what happens if you have a case as it is, we possibly like Rabim over the Yachid, but especially when the Yachid is Mekiel, and the Rabim or Machmir, it's really hard to be Mekiel like the Yachid. So if you want to be Machmir like the Yachid, okay, fine, so you're Machmir. Worst case, you're just not doing whatever it is. But to be Mekiel like the Yachid is pretty complicated because now you're actively doing something, not according to Halacha. I mean, here you would be, if you held like Rabbi Akiva, you're doing one day instead of 7 and 30. It's a huge difference. Chutz mizo, except for this case. Sh'av apish Rabbi Akiva meki of v'cham machmirin halachik Rabbi Akiva. Right? So here's the case that Gemara says explicitly, we're passing like the yachid over the rabbim, even though the yachid is meki. Why? To amar shmuel halachik kadivar meki ba'avil. We have two times in halacha that we have a principle to be meki. So the first one is avelos, and the second one is Irving. Those are the two. The Gemara says explicitly, we have a natia, we have a bend to be mekil. And what does that mean to be mekil? So here the Gemara Moed Katan is defining that. To be mekil means we bend the rules of psak. that even though we would never in a million years possibly the yachid of the rabbim, especially when the yachid is mekiel, for by avil we will. And Tosos says here in Moed Katan, sorry, that's just say Tosos. So komakam she demot yachid mekiel rabbim achmirim. Would the yachid machim rabbim akilin halachi karabim v'shem mitahachad ayu biyachid mekiel nakiyachi komakam lav dafka. Then how do we come as posik kedibra yachid? There are many times in Shas we pass like the yachid of the rabbim. Ve'echadimar itmar. And whatever the Gemara says, that's the Psak. So there are times when we break the rules. And so to here, we apply this rule by Erevin. So one of the ways we're more Mekel, Erevin and Avelis, is we are more, is we pass the Yachid over the Rabbin. So we see that we bend this rule, and one of the ways we bend this rule is if there is a principle to be Mekel in a certain area of Halacha, one of the ways we're allowed to make it is by passing like the yachid over the rabbim. Now, this could get into a little bit the question before. Well, you know, what's the source of yachid versus rabbim? If it's mamish acharam lahatos, it's a hard thing to be makil on it, right? It's a hard thing to be makil on because if we're saying, like, you know, when it comes to a din, you know, you can't passing like the minority opinion when it comes to a din. But if you're saying that it's some sort of umdina, it's like, well, this, you know, it's more likely to be the MS. If it's the rabbim over the, if the rabbim hold that way, so then maybe there's a little more room to be makil for situations like this because it's more likely that the majority is right, but it's not 100%. It's not a psak, so therefore there's some more variability. We see even here the Rush is a case in Bava Metzia. It says as follows: it says ki darmina besuka, ala echad bevadech, and afgav de daikina and rabbanan poligal. Adam Shimon ben Eliezer, near the Lach Shimon Eliezer, Mustaber Tamei Vel Chakli V'Tara Libeng. So the Rush here paskins like a yachid over the rabbim, even though it's not explicitly in the Gemara. So sometimes even Rishonim will decide that the position of the yachid makes more sense than the rabbim. Okay. Two more sources here. So the Rush was a tshuva says as follows. So this is a very interesting tshuva. Chelik Aleph Simei Reish and Gimel. He goes through like a lot of I guess klalim of psak how he understands it. So this is what he says at the end. Umin aderech hazeh kol shenagu lasos kol maaseihem al pi echa migdolei poskim b'makom shenagu lasos kol maaseihem. So let's say you live in a place where everyone poskins like a certain rub. Right? And you can make it simple, right? You've got Sfarim versus Ashkenazim. And Ashkenazim were, in a certain times, the Rishonim would possibly like the Rif, and Sfarim like the Rambam. So we have very established standards that people possibly in different ways. And everyone possibly is like their Rebbe. And if you have a chacham who is fit to be a posek, they have a right on an individual basis and a communal basis to be more machmer in certain things. And not that, but you might be over the isser of not showing kavod to the rav of your area if you go against their halacha. But if you're in an area that has three different gedolim, it's two versus one, that's already paskin. And even if your Rebbe holds like the Yachid and he's Mekel, you can hold like him. That's interesting. The Shulchan Aruch is a question because how does Shulchan Aruch come up with his Pesach? So we took the opinions of three different Rishonim. He took the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rush. And if there's majority of two versus one, he'd pass in like those. So he basically applied Acharam Lahados in a mass scale to meet the Shulchan Aruch. So Rav Avadya kind of asks, like, where did the Shulchan Aruch get this from? Where did the Machaber get this from? To just define halacha based on those three Rishonim. Now he'll quote other Rishonim and he'll say, Yesh Omrim this or other, if there's another Rishon that says something. But where did he come up with this split? So Rav Avadya says, psh, Ruach HaKodesh. The Mechaber was operating in a different realm. He had Ruach HaKodesh. But ultimately he did apply a form of Rabbim over Yachit to write the Shulchan Aruch. Alright, we'll finish with this. It's a beautiful piece by Rav Moshe Feinstein. So Rav Moshe in his Hakdama to his Igros Moshe talks about the concept of Psak and basically discusses, well, like, you know, who am I to write down any Psak on anything? Why should anyone listen to me? And why should what I have to say matters? So he says as follows. Valhu mitam she'anachon l'nishtati b'zeh she'rishayin v'mechoyavim chachmei doros ha'achronim l'horos. So every... The Rebbeim of every generation have a chiyuv to paskin. Af shelo hayu nechshavim higia l'hara bedoros chachmei gemara. She'yesh vada lachu shulai lo kivnu amitas adim. Kvishu emes kvishmaya. And, you know, even though we're not sure if everything we paskin is 100% minishamaya, right? When Hashem agrees with every psak we give, we don't know. Well, emes l'hara kvar ne'amar lo b'shamayim mi. But there's two different points. There's emes and there's emes l'hara. There's truth, and then there's the truth within the psak. And he says that a psak is a truth in and of itself. Even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu might not have been maskim to it. Still, there's a truth within the psak. If it was done in a proper way, that's truth within itself. Because in Torah says, lo b'shamayim, that means that our psak becomes truth. Akavishinir lachacham, achwesh ayin kiroi, levar halacha b'shas v'poskim, kifikochom, as long as you have a chacham who really delves into the material and does it sincerely with your shemayim, and they're convinced this is the psak, that becomes truth for psak. And then he's obligated to tell people. He can't hide it. He can't sit on it. Even though Hashem is looking down and saying, yeah, you got it wrong. This also becomes part of Hashem's, part of Divrei Elokim Chayim.
So is that like the baskol?
No, it's not a baskol. Mm-hmm. It's saying that Elav Elav Divrei Elokim Chayim means that the two different perspectives, they can't both be right. They're both true within Hora.
I understand, but right. What does it mean Hashem's looking down saying you got it wrong?
No, not literally. I'm just saying, yeah not literally. But if he could talk to Hashem, Hashem would say you got it wrong. Right, isn't it right? Like the boss calls, right? Me'achas shelo nira ha'perish k'mosha pasuk v'lo hayas dira l'dvar. V'kabas schar al harato, ashem emes enu k'pei rishon. Not only that, he gets schar for the psak, even if it's completely wrong. V'achach ha'gadol azeh mehad ha'shabas taf kuflam, rambi yitzchak, ir achas ha'yibarish Yisrael, shay osin k'rabi Eliezer. V'nasal ha'kadosh baruch hu schar gadol, shematam bizmanam, shemetu bizmanam, so this town of Rabbi Eliezer that we saw in Yevamos, that Paschal and Rabbi Eliezer, but no one else did, they were rewarded because of their commitment to his psak. They died when they died in an old age, and even when the Romans came and outlawed Amila, they didn't outlaw it for this town. Even though, right, Afsha Emes Aliba Dadina Nifsa Shlok Rabbi Eliezer, even though the Halach is not like Rabbi Eliezer, V'chiyav Skila B'mezer V'chatas B'shogig. And if anyone today passes like Rabbi Eliezer, they would get Skila for it, right? Because you're violating Shabbos. Alma De Emes L'Hara. So it must mean that what they did was within Halacha, even though if anyone else did it, it would be Skila. For them, it was a mitzvah to follow that psak. Because it was MS, it was MS Laros, it was MS within Psak. Shemachiv Laros Vegam Mekabaschar. He was Chayiv to give his Psak, as he understood it, and they received Schar for following it. Because Rabbi Lozer was sincere with his Psak, it just, that's not how he paskin. That's what every machlok is. Rishon mechronim. Shizeh osu v'zematia shekozman shlo nifsak echad. Yechla kol echad loros b'mekomo. Right? That during the times of the Rishonim, every community had the right to paskin like their Rav. Ashadin ha'amiti hu rak echad mehen. U'shnei cham mekalvin schar al harasam. Even though in the end, we only paskin like one of them. מתאמזה מציר הרבה חלוקים גם יסרים מחמורים. במקומות שנוגעים להורס כרמב"ם ובית יוסף, במקומות שנוגעים להורס כך מתוספות כרמב"ם, ושניהם הם דירוקים חיים, אף שאמס אמיתי גליקה ושמיה, שירה כאחד מהם. And when it comes to Sfarna versus Ashkenazim, they can pass completely differently, right? You know, like to the Yemenite show. So they showed me, so the Yemenite showed me, they have their Sefer Halacha, I mean, Hagim, and a psak they have is that you can do Bishul Ach or Bishul with Davar Lach. Okay? That, you know, liquids you can cook, you can reheat liquids, it's not considered cooking again. Mm. Now, for Ashkenazim, that would be Bishul. I mean, we hold it's Mamish Bishul Dereisa. And for them, it's fine. Right?
My son-in-law.
And he showed me, a text. I don't know exactly what the makor is. You know, it's just like a book of halacha. But okay, that's their halacha, and that's what they do. And you know, no one has any right to question it. You can't disparage it. You can't question it. You can't say, well, you're violent for them. That's their halacha. You know, so that therefore that's how that's their psak. So there's a truth within the psak, even if ultimately that's not how we paskin. So.
And to the point that if you go eat by them, then it's fine. It's not even though you and your house.
That's a little different question because, you know, do you follow your minhag or your halacha when you're in someone else's home? And that's already not. That's not as pasha.
But then in Parakira, I think it says if somebody cooked on Shabbos, you're allowed to eat it.
Depends with who they cooked it for and why they cooked it. Yeah, that depends, right? But they cooked it for you, it might not be so simple.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's already...
Yeah. Like if you go to Sfarim for
Pesach.
Or something.
Right. You can do sit there. You eat with them. I mean, kinyas in theory can be more makil. It's more of a minhag.
Yeah.
Although we're machmir for kinyas than we are for many derises. <Yes. laughs> That's Pesach for you. What can you do? yeah, that's yeah. It's a little not.